Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indiana with her dad. We're wishing her the best, her dad the best too. Keep him in your thoughts. Hopefully we will have Vanessa back this week. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. You'll talk to Sean Mace behind the glass, new producer of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. You can text in that very same number too. I am merely Paul Gallant. So funny texts that have to do with obviously what took place last night in the Oscars. The question I have, who in the world of sports could get away with it? They're not going to get suspended. There's probably going to be some conversation about them afterwards. Hey, should they have been able to slap somebody in the face? But for the most part, you know, they're going to get away with it. We're seeing all sorts of fantastic takes online, though, about it. You know, there's apparently an anchor on, you guessed it, CNN, who said that this might have happened because of a certain former president. That was the reason. He enabled this kind of a culture.
I didn't think anyone was going to get worse than Judd Apatow, who I like, by the way. I like his
Could have killed him. No, you don't get it, Sean. He could have killed him. If he hit him right, he could have died. You know, he's up on a stage. If he falls off the stage, he might break his neck.
Yeah, hit the magic button and kill him.
What if his hands were electrically charged? I don't know. It's the takes that have been coming out of it. Like, part of me enjoys them, but there's another part of me that's thinking, oh, yeah, these people are serious. Because I like just the chaos and the weirdness of it.
I was just grinning probably for 3 straight hours after it happened, just laughing at different memes and stuff, different stuff, our group chat and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I'd never even reckoned with, like, oh, yeah, some people are, like, actually dismayed by this in some way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, nothing was happening on Sunday night, and then all of a sudden there was. Oh, this is a sports show. You should be talking about sports. Well, technically, this is sports. Will Smith, legendary basketball player at Bel Air High School, one of the top recruits in the country.
Carried that team.
Yeah.
Carried that team.
Also, one time he was Muhammad Ali in a movie. That happened. I don't know what else.
You couldn't tell from the video, but yeah, that did happen.
It did happen.
If you played Muhammad Ali, you kind of want Chris Rock to fall there.
When you save the world from aliens, you can do whatever you want. Even if in that movie, Houston gets nuked, which no one ever talks about.
Kind of unnecessary for the story, too.
Completely unnecessary.
Or like a personal gripe.
Thanks, Bill Pullman. You suck. You're on the bleep list. Anyway, a couple of texts in, 713-780-3776. This doesn't answer the question, like, who in sports could get away with it. But we do have someone texting in. Dom Toretto from Fast and the Furious would be proud of Will. We're going to get to a couple of your phone calls in a second. I do want to play these two clips. So you heard Deshaun Watson's apology, right? You heard Deshaun Watson going back to the same script whenever he was being asked a question that was tough. I've never assaulted, never disrespected, and never harassed any woman in my life. I wasn't raised like this. I will talk about this someday, but it is not the day to talk about it because investigations are still ongoing. Well, Will Smith won the Oscar for Best Actor like 10 to 15 to 20 minutes, however long that Kevin Costner monologue was. Good God, it was terrible. However long that was, he comes back up to accept the Oscar award for Best Actor. And he didn't really apologize as much as he explained his mindset at this moment in time. Here's William.
Richard Williams was a fierce defender of his family.
A fierce defender of his family. So that's the defense. He said that. That was the first thing he said. And he apologized a little bit later, but the apology was essentially to the Academy. It wasn't to Chris, who he just smacked the bejesus out of. Nope. It was to the Academy. And people are in the background like, yeah, You were just being Richard Williams still. You're in character. We're actors. We're crazy people. We just stay like this for weeks on end, months on end. We are characters. And he kept on going a little bit later. Once again, it's like he was Dom Toretto, as that texter brought up. He's consistently bringing it back to what would you do for family?
Art imitates life. I look like the crazy father, just like they said. I look like crazy father, just like they said about Richard Williams. But love will make you do crazy things.
So it's all about love. Gotcha. All right. Well, love will make you do crazy things. I'm going to use that one going forward. I feel like that's a good one to have in your back pocket.
That really, anyone can use that.
Yep. Yeah.
Almost any time.
You know, Sean Mapes behind the glass, that CNN anchor might have a point. You know, I mean, now people are just going to use this going forward. That random person that had a hot take about how this is going to be terrible for society going forward. Yeah, because you can just say like, well, love, man, you know, love conquers all, including my own ability to control myself.
Listen, I'm a defender of my family, right?
I've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You can bring up family, and it is quite the convenient shield. Was it not with Russell Westbrook getting mad about Russell Westbrick? And he gets so much sympathy for people that are like, oh, wow, you shouldn't call him Westbrick. That's like a lame dad joke. It wasn't that as a defense for him. It was like, oh, his family's sad. You can't make him feel sad. This $30 million a year player is sad. His little son doesn't like to be called Little Westbrick. He doesn't like that. No, he's sad. You have to stop doing it. Family. You could use family as a shield. And people don't really question you anymore. And clearly none of those jokels in that room were going to do it. Yokels, jokels, whatever. 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phones. Cecil's been waiting a while. Cecil, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing wonderful. How about you?
Doing great. Doing great. I've got a couple sports personalities of the past that I believe might have gotten away with slapping someone because they both were disciplinarians and they both demanded respect on the field, on the court. One of them, and I'm sure everybody knows, Mike Ditka is one of them. Larger than life sports figure. I think he might have got away with maybe slapping one of his players that made a bonehead.
But he would have had to do it in, like, 1985. He would have had to do it at the peak of those Chicago Bears. Because his run, like, that Bears team kind of didn't do anything after that, you know? They had the great year, 15-1 in 85. They murdered the Patriots in the Super Bowl, 46-10. But also, what's interesting, Cecil, is, I mean, Buddy Ryan was on that coaching staff, too. I mean, I wonder what would have happened. I mean, those two, they could have probably slapped each other. Buddy Ryan would have slapped anybody.
No doubt about it. The other personality is the great Bobby Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Knight, I think he got away with slapping some of his kids around before they say, hey, Bobby, you can't do that anymore.
Right. And yeah, he choked. I'm just looking this up online. Bob Knight chokes Neil Reed. Bob Knight pimp slaps a player. Whoa. Goodness gracious. Okay, appreciate the phone call, Cecil. Yeah, Bobby Knight, I think, got away with it at once. But
I think what we're learning is you can slap, you can't choke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a general rule of thumb.
This game, all right, I'm watching it. Bobby Knight, yeah, he slapped it. It's a very quick slap. It was like a, hey, pay attention to me slap.
Like a wake-up kind of
thing? Yeah, like a little tap. But it's a slap, definitely. And it was on television. Interesting. Anyway, Bobby Knight, that's definitely someone who would have done it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. King of Twitch, Hugh Texas, says on Twitch, T.O. slapped the wide receiver in San Francisco, didn't he? That's interesting. I think that once also T.O. like challenged everybody in a locker room to a fight. And I think T.O. would have been about that life. I would not have wanted to mess with T.O. That guy, I mean, if you watch his NFL films, A Football Life, like that guy, I feel like there are a lot of things in his life that would have led him to just bring all of the Superman rage out at you in one moment. What else do we have? Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, 713-780-3776, wanting to weigh in on this. The question we did have for today, what athletes, what sports figures could get away without a suspension or anything with slapping somebody in broad daylight on national TV. Who do you got?
First of all, he was a D-bag, so it's funny that guy brought him up. But I would love to see Hakeem slap Rudy T because of his hand size.
Oh.
Just to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got huge hands, right?
But he would kill him, just like we saw with Judd Apatow. Like, you can't slap somebody like that when you got massive hands.
Oh, you could. Also, I want to say one other thing, and I appreciate you taking the time for me, y'all. I really don't think what happened last night, it was planned.
There's you think
no
it was planned?
That was fake. There's no. You guys work in radio. You know what's fake and what's real.
Right.
There's no way in AT double hobby sticks that was planned. Or that was not planned.
Wait a second. I'm confused. I'm confused, Lawrence. Was it real or was it fake? What are you trying to say? Because like you're saying, like double
no,
negatives, and I'm lost.
No, I'm thinking it was fake. It was fake.
You think
they
it was fake?
The whole thing.
Man.
Yes. It's got to be. It's Hollywood. Come on, guys. Think about it.
I mean, so Lawrence. All right. Let me put my tinfoil hat on, and I appreciate the phone call. Let me put on my tinfoil hat. Will Smith, he's never won an Oscar before. I have the documents right here. The Academy went up to Will Smith before the presentation, and they said, we're not giving you this Oscar unless you make this Oscar something to remember. They told him that. I have the documents. And then Will Smith did that. Coincidence? InfoWars. I'm just kidding. I thought long and hard about this. The way Chris Rock responded because of that and because of how I thought out of control Will Smith seemed afterwards, where he walks over to the side, he had to be consoled by like three people, he's crying during the speech. I don't know. No, I could have seen maybe Will Smith had a few too many to drink or something like that. I there's all sorts of plausible theories, but I'm not going with it was fake, because this is not going to save the Oscars long term.
Like, hey, like, talk about taking one for the team, because Will Smith does not look good in this.
No.
If he would have just won the Oscar, gave a great speech, and then moseyed on, it is so much better for Will Smith. It's better for the Oscars for Will Smith to slap someone, I would think, because it got me to tune in.
It got everyone to tune in.
And I would love to see, like, just the line graph of the viewership. But
I would, too. I mean,
also, we cut it off a little bit, but the Chris Rock, initially, it did seem like it was almost scripted because of how much he didn't react, of how, like, he just kind of rolled with the punches.
Legitimately rolled with the slap. He did. But when he...
But then when he tossed it to the documentary, could tell he was shook.
Because he messed up his words. And look, I mess up my words all the time. But I probably have some sort of brain damage. Chris Rock is a very talented performer. You know?
He might have brain damage now.
Yeah. Well, Chris, here's the thing. How do you come back from this if you're Chris Rock?
Oh, the Netflix special.
I mean, people are definitely going to want to hear what you had to say. But there is an element of... Some people are always going to look at you as a bully for this moment, even though I thought it was a pretty... It was not a very hard joke.
You know where he goes? He gets a flight to Austin, Texas. Freedom of speech is under attack. Joe Rogan.
Oh, yes.
4 hours.
100%.
Let's get into it.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776. If you've got thoughts on this, was it a conspiracy? Was it a deep fake? You can tweet me at Gallant Says as well. The Cougs lost on Saturday. We're bummed out about it. Is there any way that's worse to lose than seeing your basketball team just miss every single shot? Is there a worse way to lose a game? Would you have preferred to lose by 100 points to losing in a way where the Cougs were in it the whole way through, but they just couldn't hit a shot? Sort of like it was 2018 of the Western Conference Finals. We'll talk about that next right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No, Vanessa today, she's up in Indiana with her family. We're thinking about her and her family right now. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is our new producer behind the glass. Did get a comment on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5, king of Twitch, Houston, Texas. Pedro Martinez slapped down that poor old Don Rickles Yankee coach. Yeah, Don Zimmer. I remember that. That was back in 2003, the American League Championship Series, which was a classic. Those two back-to-back, 2003, 2004, were amazing. I remember that. I thought Pedro was fine. You know, you got this crazy old man charging at you. What are you going to do? Like, ole.
Yeah. Was it Zimmer?
Zimmer.
He charged Pedro, and Pedro just jiu-jitsu'd.
Yeah.
Took his energy, redirected it.
Stepped to the side.
Yeah, hit him a little bit in the face.
Pedro slapped someone once because this was at the beginning of a game where he would go on to throw like a no-hitter. It was against the Devil Rays. But the first batter of the game, he hit him. And the guy charged the mound. And Pedro like slapped him. And it was like, it didn't look great for Pedro, like trying to defend himself there. A couple of people are in on Twitch. Of course, it's on Twitch. I love the Twitch crowd. They're fun. They come every day. They got takes. But some of the Twitch crowd do believe that it's fake and that why didn't Chris Rock defend himself? Why didn't Chris Rock do anything? What was Chris Rock going to do? Will Smith is a big guy. He's a really big guy. I'm sorry. Chris Rock is not going to be able to defend himself against Will Smith. And also, I don't think he would expect him to. Whoever was security there, too, by the way.
Horrible. That is one thing. The Oscars will have better security.
I would think so. I would think so, which honestly could mean for better content. Because assuming you have someone that's not boring, like Amy Schumer running things, maybe you will have somebody who is willing to barb and pepper people. And if you got some security in between him and you, oh boy, it could be violent. It could turn into a roast. But I also wonder how many people are actually going to want to do it when this just happened. Because it is one of these things where, like, if you're a comedian, it's almost as if they're going to have a massive stand of solidarity together and not go to these anymore. And I don't blame them. So then it's just going to be everyone smelling each other's farts. And Kevin Costner's talking for 20 minutes about the time that he went to go see a movie when he was 7 years old and didn't pee his pants over 4 hours and stayed through the intermission. I want to know why you didn't pee your pants. Or if you did pee your pants. And how you got away with the peeing of your pants. Did the air conditioning, you know, have it all evaporate or something like that? I don't know. But there's no way I believe that Kevin Costner sat through a 4-hour movie without peeing himself. Sorry.
Maybe he didn't get concessions.
I guess.
It was just so wrapped up in the, you know, majesty of cinema.
You know? Yeah, yeah, clearly
we're all here to celebrate today.
Oh, my God, that was insufferable. We'll talk about the Cougs in just a moment, but what's the worst way to lose? Is it the way that the Cougs lost? Because they were there. There was a part of me where I kept on saying to myself, nope, they have earned your entire watch. You are not going to stop watching them at any point. Watch the entirety of this game. They deserve it. And they came back. They fought their way back into the game. But then they just couldn't hit a damn three. 1 for 20 from outside. Oh, boy. Kyler Edwards was 0 for 8. And after being so awesome against Arizona, to see him fall on his face like that, a couple of moments where he definitely was feeling himself a little bit too much, it was a massive bummer. I think I would rather lose and just like get absolutely crushed. Because this team was fun, likable. At least if they lose by a million to Villanova, you're like, okay. Like, they got as far as they could without their two best players. But to lose like this and all they needed to do was hit a couple of shots, like that just hurts. Just like the loss that the Rockets had against the Golden State Warriors. That a lot of Rockets Twitter will blame on the referees because they're losers and they all subscribe to the notion that the world is out to get the Rockets at all times. And I think that's because of Bill Worrell, former broadcaster for the Houston Rockets and the Worrell Army, because the refs are always out to get you. Even if it's 5 minutes after a blown call, you'll still hear about it because they won't move on from that same topic. Sort of like how I haven't moved on from talking about Will Smith and the Oscars. What a transition back into what we were talking about. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. No, Vanessa, she's up in Indiana with her family right now. We're thinking about her. Danny, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well.
Let's stop talking about the Will Smith thing, and let's talk about the biggest tragedy of the Oscars. What made millions of kids start crying like their favorite NFL team just lost in the playoffs.
Whoa.
When they messed up, we don't talk about Bruno.
What's that? Did you actually watch the whole Oscar? Because I'm like, I don't even know what this moment
is.
Yes,
Danny, you might have to fill us in. We're very much a post-slap audience.
We were the post-slap guys.
Yeah, we came in after violence. So what happened with
we came
Bruno?
For more violence.
Well, we don't talk about Bruno. It's like the number in the world right now. Number one on Billboard, Hot 100. It's on Encanto, the big Lin-Manuel Miranda cartoon that's on Disney+.
Oh.
And so it's all the kids at school, I'm a coach, and all the kids at school, they sing this song constantly.
Okay.
Over and over and over and over again. And they announced that the original cast was going to sing it during the Oscars.
Oh, and they didn't.
So all of these kids were waiting, and they did the first part of the song. Then all of a sudden, Megan Thee Stallion came out and started rapping to the song that she's a part of. And they just turned it into a whole Oscar.
Gotcha,
and
Danny.
It's only like, yeah, they just ditched the majority of the song.
Oh, listen, I feel like we have to defend Megan Thee Stallion, right? Like, she's from Houston. Like, whatever, she can do what she wants. If the kid's going to, you know, screw them kids. You know, they got to go to bed anyway. I actually have no idea on this song. appreciate the phone call, Danny. Look, I haven't seen that movie. It's from the movie Encanto, I guess. There are so many kids' movies out these days, and I've stopped watching them. I used to watch them all because usually the Disney kids' movies are still pretty good. Like, if you're an adult, you can actually watch it. But no, sorry, I had never heard of that one. So interesting. It's funny whenever you dive into conversations, because sometimes you have, you know, kids that are still driving in the car, and. You know, if you're in the car right now, listen, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about, like, it's not about you. The Oscars aren't about you. They aren't about, like, I'm surprised, like, any adult would want their kids to watch the Oscars because it's, like, 7 hours long, you know? Like,
I can't imagine wanting to watch the Oscars as a kid.
Yeah, I feel like you're I feel like today's kids would not be able to sit through that. I might have been able to sit through that when I was, like, 7 or 8 or something like that, but I probably wouldn't have had my attention held. I suppose if you're watching it for just that one thing, fine. But I in the past, Sean, on the radio, have had hot takes about Frozen and about how Elsa's just a horrible human being, and that it, like, Anna's, like, cool. The little sister's cool. Elsa tried to kill her. You know what? We're talking about things that get done.
Judd Apatow, get those Twitter fingers ready.
Right. She could have killed Anna. Slapping somebody in the face. No one talks about Elsa freezing her sister. You know,
Did
no
she,
one
like,
talks about
freeze
that.
Freeze her heart or something? It was something crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. And they had a sequel, and all these poor parents have to watch the movie over and over again. I feel for you, the parents. There's nothing worse than having to watch, I would imagine, the same movie with your kid over and over again. And I know I was that guy when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
I know my sister and I, Sean, watched The Rescuers Down Under every Friday for like 3 years. Not even the original The Rescuers with the two mice that are like detectives. No, it was one like an Australian. I can actually quote the whole movie. Did you have a movie like that when you were growing up?
Lion King. Lion King just...
Much better one.
Yeah, right. Very much the, like, the pop to your more underground.
Yeah, your, yeah.
But yeah, no, it was Lion King all the way.
Mufasa could have slapped Scar and gotten away with it. I think that's for sure.
Like, yeah, didn't he?
No, he didn't. No, Scar killed
him. Oh, yeah, I got him.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, spoiler.
R.I.P. Mufasa.
You know, Scar was misunderstood. You know, he just wanted to have,
he was,
you know,
defending his family. Think about it.
In a weird way, but he was.
He's like the Richard Williams of this, if you think about it.
Defending his family by killing someone's dad. Like, that's
by
fine.
By killing his family.
Goodness gracious. 713-780-3776. We're all over the place. Deshaun Watson had a mess of a press conference on Friday. And there are a couple of things to take away from it. You'll hear some of what Deshaun Watson had to say. And on top of it, it's really funny to see the way that the Browns handled this. They really wanted you to believe that they did their due diligence, but they admitted a couple of times that they didn't. We'll talk about that next right here. It's Vanessa and Gallant. No Vanessa, just me, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No, Vanessa, just Paul. Vanessa's up in Indiana with her family right now. We're thinking about her, thinking about her fam. Send her some well wishes if you can, because we wish she was here for this. So it would be a lot of fun to talk about the Oscars with her. But we're talking about it with Sean Mapes behind the glass, our new producer. Getting some continuity going on the show. Been having a whole lot of fun our first month on the air. We have discussed the Oscars a lot today. I know it's a sports show, but I mean, come on. This is the biggest event that took place over the course of the weekend, including a weekend where the Cougs lost and including a Friday where Deshaun Watson finally faced the music. And as we told you this past week, he faced the music in that he was asked uncomfortable questions that will likely not be asked of him for a very long time. The Band-Aid has been ripped off as far as the Browns are concerned, and now they can move on trying to win their first ever Super Bowl, which is pretty incredible that they've never won a Super Bowl. That's neither here nor there. I was struck by a couple of the things that the Browns did. First off, Jimmy Haslam's your owner. He wasn't there. You're the owner of the Browns. How are you not there? Oh, well, I had a prior commitment. Are you so poor, Jimmy Haslam, that you can't fly from wherever the hell you were to go be at this press conference? He had to be there. Instead, it's general manager Andrew Berry. It's Deshaun Watson. It's head coach Kevin Stefanski, who was asked like two questions. Stefanski barely spoke. I don't know why he was up there. No one really cared about what he had to say either. Andrew Berry, meanwhile, was taking all the questions that should have been directed at Jimmy Haslam. Haslam, in a Zoom that they did afterwards, said that the football operations, not ownership, made the decision. Well, you signed off on it. Don't even act like you didn't. This is something that absolutely the top boss would have to sign off on to approve. You think a general manager is going to do this without approval and then offer a $230 million contract, the most guaranteed money ever, without approval? BS. But Jimmy Haslam isn't exactly the, let's face it, most morally altruistic person out there. Andrew Berry, meanwhile, kept fielding question after question after question. And the Browns patted themselves on the back for the investigation that they did. Because in that press conference that Jimmy Haslam did on Zoom, Haslam said, well, I talked to my three daughters. Family. Again, family. What a convenient shield. I talked to my three daughters and took their advice, took their input when it came to Deshaun Watson. Oh, okay. Then you heard that the Browns spoke to three women, but it was the three women who were on Rusty Harden's defense team for Deshaun Watson to properly vet him. So that was BS too. Andrew Berry was asked if they spoke to any of the alleged victims, the 22 who are, if not getting Deshaun Watson stuck with criminal charges, are definitely trying to win in civil court a significant sum of money, I would imagine each one of them. But Andrew Berry said that lawyers advised us not to talk to the 22 women. And he's probably right in that they did that, but you can't honestly say that you did your homework on this if you didn't talk to any of them. Just admit that you did exactly what we thought you would do, which is not talk to them because you don't want to know what they have to say. Why would you? You want plausible deniability. You don't want to hear the specifics. You just want to look at Deshaun Watson, the football player. Deshaun Watson, the not seeming very empathetic football player. Deshaun Watson, the borderline sociopathic football player up at that press conference. Not a lot of remorse. Asked if he had any regrets. And I remember what was really funny. He said, like, about football? Like, the first thing he responded to, there was the last question he took in the press conference. You're getting grilled by all of these guys about all of these allegations and all of these things. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth, like, what's been the most difficult part of this personally for you? He says, what, for football? What? And he moved on. He's like, are you talking about personal life? I was like, obviously personal life, Deshaun. Like, no one gives a crap about the football right now. No one. There was, like, one person who asked a football question. That's it. The rest were all questions towards Andrew Berry and you about this. And one with Kevin Stefanski. And was like, hey, what do you think about families and women? And Stefanski's like, well, women are great and so are families, but football is great too. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for showing up here. What did Deshaun Watson have to say? Well, there were a couple of different things that he dove into over the course of his press conference, but we talked about this earlier. He said that the contract that he signed had nothing to do with him eventually choosing the Cleveland Browns.
Actually, it had nothing to do with the contract. I didn't know about the contract until I told my agent that I wanted to come and be a Cleveland Brown. That was secondary. That was after the fact that we spoke on the phone with AB and Kevin and the Haslam family. So that had nothing to do with me choosing the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Maybe there were other teams that would have offered that much money, but all reporting was the Browns were out, and then the Browns were back in. Why do you think the Browns were back in? There's a report about how the Browns kept on fighting, kept on doing their due diligence, and boom, next thing you know, guess what? They're back. Anyway, I was just absolutely annoyed by the rest of the press conference because it's Deshaun Watson doing this over and over and over again. The same three things. Listen carefully to what he has to say here.
I can't speak on what people opinions are because everyone have their own opinions. But what I can continue to do is tell the truth. And that is I've never assaulted or disrespected or harassed any woman in my life. Like I said before, I was raised differently. That's not my DNA. That's not my culture. That's not me as a person. And that's not how I was raised. And for me, that's to continue to push forward and show people that who I really am.
He kept saying the same three things over and over over the course of the press conference. I never assaulted, never disrespected, and never harassed any woman. And when you hear that, that's because there was a blueprint that was given to Deshaun Watson going into said press conference. Whenever he felt like he was on the ropes, he went back to it. He was coached well for this. And honestly, the Browns had to do their coaching for this one. And there's a reason that they took as long to do the introductory press conference as they did. I'm sure they had some mock press conferences, honestly, so that they would make sure that there was no way that Deshaun Watson could eat his own foot. And he didn't. Well, hang on. He kind of did. This one, I can't believe that this was an answer that he thought he would be able to get away with. Deshaun Watson was asked about why he had so many massage therapists. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I can't get too far into detail because there's an ongoing investigation still. But I can say that with this now day and age, especially with my age group, social media is a big business part. That goes into it.
Oh,
so that's
God.
You know, a factor into it. But as far as the details, I can't get too far into it because there's an investigation going on. But hopefully, you know, once everything is resolved, I can speak freely on it.
I can't get into it, but I'll get into it eventually. By the way, the social media, you know, it was the social media. There's a lot of massage therapists because of social media. Have you been on social media? Have you seen how many hot women are on social media? I mean, you probably listen to Paul Gallant of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program, who when he sees someone on a dating app and he sees their Instagram profile, he'll follow them on Instagram and slide in. I'm doing the same thing, except for asking for massages and then being weird after the fact, allegedly. But I'm not going into the specifics. You just don't get it. This is what our age group does. It's the social media. Deshaun seems to fail to realize, though, that he is getting closer to the age of the people who are asking him these questions. So they can tell that he's, like, full of it. You know, it would be one thing if it was a bunch of, like, 50 or 60-year-olds, no offense, who are asking questions about, like, hey, like why do you have so many? Well, the social media. Maybe that gets, like, one off the scent. Maybe. Yeah, you're right. I don't get Instagram. I don't have one. But no, this was just a really lame, I thought, defense mechanism that he had. And it reminded me of Kyler Murray doing essentially the same thing on Friday. Well, yeah, I deleted all my photos because, you know, it's social media. Like, we just do that. Like, yes, if you're an insufferable douche. Yes, that's when you do it. 713-780-3776. LA's been waiting on, and he wants to talk about the Cougs. LA, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing all
just
right.
Real quick, I'm going to make a quick comment and get
shoot
you guys'
it.
Reaction. But I think one of the issues that the Cougs and even the Astros need to squash is stop celebrating before you win it all.
Hmm.
I mean, so often I've seen it where, you know, a team will celebrate before they have actually won the top prize, and the fire just seems to come out of them after that celebration. So I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Well, that is interesting, and I think this is just an old-school way of looking at things, and I don't entirely blame you. I think in the case of the Astros, you've won the World Series. You do act like you should act like you're bigger than it until you win it again. But I don't think that takes away from your ability to win. And it's totally different in college sports. It's something that most college coaches will tell you, especially during the tournament. You know, you have a team like St. Peter's go as far as they do. I mean, my God, all of a sudden you have more attention than you've ever had on you in your entire life. And you're being told essentially like, yep, but you're on to the next game. You're on to the next game. It's a lot harder in college, I think, to actually have that happen.
Especially after the second round and then you play on Saturday, then you don't play again on Thursday, that week of going back to campus, and you're the man.
Yeah.
You just made the Sweet 16.
And St. Peter's deserves a lot of credit for being able to win that first game because of it.
U of H as well.
You're right. UH has been there and done it before to an extent, but it's a totally different team of guys that are actually, you know, in the primary positions that are doing it. That's an interesting take. I don't think, though, that's the reason. Like, they just couldn't hit a shot. You know, they played. Did any part of what the Cougs did on Saturday, like, disgust you outside of their shooting? Because I felt like they played great defense. They held Gillespie to 6 points. He's their leading scorer. Like, they did everything right except for shooting. So I can't say it was a lack of focus in that game at all. And I wouldn't have expected it to be a lack of focus by them. If they got their doors blown off by like 30, okay, maybe you can make that argument. But they lost. That was the closest game in the Elite Eight, and it was against probably the team that's been the most tournament good in all of college basketball over the last couple of years. Tournament good. That wasn't a great adjective. 713-780-3776. Let's squeeze in Austin, who wants to talk about the Oscars. Austin, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Big fan of y'all's show. Hopefully everything's going well for Vanessa and her family.
100%.
So just quick question, Paul. Again, what's your stance on the whole Will Smith thing? Is it more or less you think it was fake? Or do you think it was real?
Everyone wants to know what I believe on this. Okay, I do think it was real, yes. I guess I'm just not that hung up on whether it was real or fake. I just find the whole thing to be hilarious. It's not going to get me to watch the Oscars next year, I can tell you that. But I thought that more than anything, it's a guy slapping somebody else, and it's unbelievably uncomfortable for a bunch of stuck-up snobs who love the smell of their own farts. I don't like these shows because these people are so pretentious and so out of touch with reality, and yet they preach to you about how you should live their life. It was funny. There was a commercial at the end of the event, and it says, like, the Oscars were flown into you by Delta or something like that. I'm like, no one here did anything other than taking a private jet. No one had to pay $600 to fly coach to go across the country. By the way, that's what some of the prices are. Looking for flights for Memorial Day weekend. Good God, they do not look good. So anyway, Austin, in a nutshell, yes, I think it did actually happen. I thought it was real.
So, and here's the thing. The reason why I thought it was real once I heard what Will said after, right, what was bleeped out. And, you know, if you look at the Japanese telecast and all that, you can hear what actually Will said and all that. So once I heard that, I thought it was real. But then now thinking about it and everything, and I'll give you some quick points. This is the reason why now I'm set, and I swear I believe it's true now, it's fake. I believe it's completely fake, and here's the reason why. When Will, before he was just barely putting his hand up, or, you know, to slap Chris made eye contact, he was bracing for contact, his neck was tucked in. I mean, the weak throw by Will. I mean, Will played Ali, right? Like, this dude knows how to throw a punch, or at least throw a slap.
But you don't want to throw a punch in that situation. I think, Austin, I think he knew that he could not throw a punch in that spot, because that would definitely be assault. A slap is like the thing you could kind of get away with. And I could see where you're going with and where everyone's going with the deep conspiracy theories here. You know, like, I could totally see how it might have been fake, but I think it was real. I really do. And, like, I'm not overthinking it at this point in time. I'm just taking it for what it was.
Yeah.
Look, you saw how it went. He made a joke, and appreciate the phone call, Austin. He made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith's hair. She apparently has alopecia. I'm sure Chris Rock didn't know about that. And Will Smith chuckled for a second, looked over to Jada. Jada had this look of like she was pissed off. He goes up on stage and he smacks him. And I really do think it was as simple as he saw her feeling upset, probably had a couple of drinks. Natural reaction was to go do something about it. And he slapped this guy in the face.
I think it is he laughed at it. He saw that she wasn't, and he had to like overcompensate. Mm-hmm. I feel like it, and things just got out of control from there.
You know what? You're right, Sean. In a way, I think it was kind of a way of apologizing.
It's like a make good.
Yeah. Right. Because, I mean, he did chuckle at first. Was he chuckling politely? I don't know. Because it escalated. It went from him chuckling to him sitting down and saying, like, don't talk about my bleeping wife. And it was like, whoa. Like, Chris Rock seemed stunned and taken aback by that. And then when he started stumbling over himself, I felt like he probably had nerves up there.
And there's no reason to rope in Denzel during the speech where Will Smith says that, like, Denzel walked over and tonight and told him that in your highest moments, that's when the devil gets. There's no reason to keep going with the with this narrative if it wasn't something that actually happened and Denzel was actually checking in on Will Smith.
All these people are so full of it. Like, I love Denzel as an actor, but, like, shut up. What are you talking about? You know?
Hey, yeah, sometimes the
devil just takes control of you. What is this, a movie? Like, can you guys actually be real for 1 second? And all of these frauds who are watching are, like, clapping along with it. Wait a second. You guys are telling me that I should be X, Y, Z. I should be this person that always responds to things in a peaceful way. You people are the ones constantly lecturing me. And then Will Smith goes up and Rick James, Charlie Murphy, Chris Rock up there. And you're like, yeah, courageous. So courageous.
It's almost like the Juwan Howard thing where after he gets suspended and then in the tournament where he consoles the Tennessee player, people are like, look at that. Ultimate redemption story. It's like, no, wait, he slapped someone and then didn't, and then was a nice person the second. It's like the same thing where it's like, this isn't redemption. You don't get to be redeemed in 20 minutes.
What a low bar to clear, by the way. Oh, wow, he didn't slap that guy. Good job, Juwan.
He didn't slap that other guy.
Man, you've really grown as a person.
Man,
you're a 50-year-old man.
Storybook ending. It's like, what?
Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa. It's Vanessa and Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We wrap things up after this with a story of a man who shot himself in the junk right here in town. How did it happen? I don't know. You'll have to figure it out.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No, Vanessa, hopefully she is back tomorrow. Sean Mapes, our new producer behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Just saw a video online. Will Smith dancing with his Oscar to the tune of, can you guess the song? Sean, you get 3 Will Smith guesses. Did you have any Will Smith music growing up? Because your friend, right here, Paul, some of the CDs I had growing up featured Ricky Martin. Yes, I know. Also, Creed and Will Smith. These are the CDs that my mom purchased for me, knowing I would be really cool because I had this music.
Eclectic taste.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Throwing you a wide net. I mean, I know Get Jiggy With It.
And it was getting jiggy with it.
I know it's not going to be summertime. I know it's not going to be Miami. It's got to be Get Jiggy With It. So he was getting jiggy with it after slapping Chris Rock.
He was, because he's above the law. That's how it works. You know, you want to really be depressed by just the way that the world works. People can get away with stuff. And Will Smith was going to get away with this. Not that I need him to get punished for something like this. I was entertained by the moment that took place, and I'm sure Chris Rock is actually fine. Chris Rock honestly needs to put himself together a Netflix special as quick as possible, because right now he has probably gained a bunch of relevance that he has not had to this degree in quite some time. So good for him on this front. He's got to milk it. He can't be like me when I had my chill dog moment happen. You go into a bunker essentially and don't say anything for a long period of time. No, you got to roll into it. You got to get all those sprinkles, all those jimmies all over you. So, you know, it's going to be good for him. But in this situation, people like Will Smith, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, they're above the law. They can get away with stuff like this. That's just how it works. Welcome to America. Woohoo! Anyway, this is a funny story that I saw that took place in the city of Houston. And it just reminds me of all the times that people seem like they need to do a better job of taking care of important things. I don't own a gun. Would I own a gun? Yeah, I probably would. I mean, that's why I got in trouble in the first place with my little chill dog thing back in Seattle, talking about buying one. But I would like to think that I would be safe with it, right? I mean, this is just common sense here. But a man at an upscale Galleria area hotel was hospitalized early Saturday after he accidentally shot himself in the testicles. Police and paramedics responded to the shooting at the St. Regis Hospital, Houston Hotel, at 11:30 p.m. on Friday. Police said the man was either unpacking a gun or pulling it from his pants when it went off. And now he's Lance Armstrong. I would think that you would, I don't know, like, check to see if your gun's loaded before you put it into your suitcase.
Or at least have the safety on.
Yeah.
Just the testicles, too. That's what really stuck out to me.
Well, what probably happened here, Sean, was this is probably a Plaxico Burress situation where the guy had it in, like, some loose-fitting pants, and he didn't have it in a holster. He, like, had it tucked in his you know, his butt crack or
the
whatever.
Waistband.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because most people, they put it, what, like, at the in their behind their back if they're going to put it in your waistband? I would just
that's
say
what they do in the movies, I think.
Right.
I'm not sure how people, yeah.
Well, I think that's what Plaxico did, because that's what happened to Plax. Like, Plax, it just slid out. And I mean, look, that's not, I mean, it's a heavy thing. I can't believe that you would, like, if you're wearing pants, you would have it in your waistband. Like, I feel like you would want to have something there,
and
right?
I imagine it happens when you kind of are, like, having to pull, again, because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
You're kind of having to pull up your pants.
Yeah.
And then the way you do it, you could pull the trigger, I would guess.
Shot in the baby makers. That would hurt.
Yeah.
So, thoughts and prayers.
And also, Galleria, upscale Galleria Hotel, that's like across the street.
Seriously, it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right, I know. I mean, I hope that he was listening to Late Hits with Patrick Creighton earlier in the night, because that way at least he would have some mirth, some informed sports knowledge. But yeah, someone's going to talk to that guy. Be careful. Be careful about shooting yourself in the balls. Anyway, that's going to wrap up the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our new producer, behind the glass. Vanessa, we hope we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, send her some well wishes. She's up with her family in Indiana. We're really thinking about her and praying for her and all that, and for her father as well. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. We will be back at it tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Killer Bees are next, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.